Welcome back to another podcast. My name is Colby Shinaki. All that I ask is that if this message speaks to you, if it resonates with you, if it encourages you, that you just leave a rating and a review. It really helps me out to reach as many people as possible with this podcast. But with that being said and that out of the way, I hope you enjoy today's message. Going on, guys. Today, I would like to talk from the idea of being beaten down. Life is too much. Nothing is going my way. All is lost, and it is a struggle just to keep your head above water. We've all had this feeling. We've all felt the weight of the world on our shoulders, and maybe some of you are listening today and you're going through that right now. You feel like an enemy of the world. Maybe you're mad at God because of a circumstance or the hand that you were dealt, but you are at this point in your life where you just don't feel like doing anything anymore because you have lost hope of any positive outcome coming from your attempts. And if you're being honest with yourself, you have too, or maybe you're there right now, but what I would like to do is submit to you a solution for this mentality, a new way of thinking. Maybe you're saying that right now there is nothing that I could say that could possibly make your situation better. And to that, I would say that the guy that we're about to read about would have said the same thing. And so, quick context before we jump into the passage, but we are going to be reading out of John, and the underlying theme of John's gospel or his account of Jesus is his radical love and affection and his goodness that he has towards humanity or his creation. But at this time, Jesus has already started his healing ministry. He was already baptized by John the Baptist. Also, side note, John the Baptist and John the disciple, totally different people. And so he has already called his disciples, and he is currently on his healing ministry in Jerusalem, which is south of Samaria. And we find ourselves at this pool of Bethesda. And this pool at different times is believed to be stirred by an angel. And whoever gets there first will receive a miracle. And they are no longer blind. They are no longer lame, paralyzed. They are completely healed, but only the person that gets there first. We are in John chapter 5, verse 1, and it says that after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep's Gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time, and he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred, and while I am going, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. If you are taking notes, go ahead and write this down. This is the title of my message, "I Don't Feel Like It." I just don't feel like it. Would you pray with me? God, would you just use me over these next few moments to articulate this message that you put on my heart? I pray that it's not only articulated, but it's also understood as well. Amen. Have you ever felt bound to something? Have you ever felt like something is just weighing you down and you just can't break free of it? It just seems to follow you throughout your entire life. See, there's this story about elephants and their owners in Africa. An elephant can easily lift huge trees with its trunk. It can knock down a house without much trouble. But the thing that you probably didn't know about an elephant is that while it's still a baby living in captivity, it's tied to a tree with a strong rope or a chain every single night. It is in the elephant's nature to roam free, and so the baby elephant instinctively tries with all of its might to break this rope, but it isn't strong enough to do so yet. And so, realizing that its efforts are of no use, it finally gives up struggling. This baby elephant has tried and failed so many times, it'll never try again for the rest of its life. And so that later on, when the elephant is fully grown, it can be tied to a small tree with a thin rope. It can easily break itself free by uprooting this tree or breaking the rope, but it doesn't because its mind has been so conditioned by prior experience. It doesn't even make the slightest attempt to break free. And so this powerfully gigantic elephant has limited its present ability by limitations of the past, hence the baby elephant syndrome. That sounds a lot like this man and his mat, doesn't it? Or maybe I was telling this story and the tree represented something personal for you in your life. But regardless, you have found yourself in this space where you have tried so many times to break away from this, but your efforts just seem useless. And so you don't feel like even trying anymore. Today, my goal is to make three distinct points on what it takes to change our mindsets when we aren't feeling it. If you're taking notes, go ahead and jot this down. This is point number one, but show me your friends. This could be a message all in itself. Show me your friends. Who are your peers? Who are you letting around you? I believe that the five people that you surround yourself with the most are going to be the people that you end up being like. And so look at the story. What does it say about the multitudes of people that surrounded this man? It says that they were blind. They were lame. They were paralyzed. It's people that were dealing with issues, people that aren't making it into the pool, people that have lost their drive and have found themselves sitting in the company of other people that have lost their drive. It says that there's people dealing with blindness. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that represents? It represents people that can't see. It represents people that are living a visionless life, people that don't have a picture of God's preferred future for their life. And when you don't have a vision for tomorrow, it's really hard to make it through today. And the enemy doesn't mind us being in churches as long as you're blind, because he knows that when your eyes are opened and you begin to see what God has in your future, you begin to see a sneak peek of what is to come. And that empowers you to endure through whatever is thrown at you today, because you have a hope in tomorrow. And just like Psalms 30 says, there may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. So quit surrounding yourself with purposeless and visionless people, and find friends that are pursuing something greater than themselves and chasing after all that God has for them, because who you surround yourself with is infectious. And never underestimate the power of community. So point number one, show me your friends. Point number two, write this down: where is your desire? I think that for most of us, at least, we don't have a problem with the dream. I think that most of us have had dreams of what we want out of life, dreams of what we want to do in life. So I don't think that the dream is the problem as much as the work that it takes to achieve those dreams. And so, to quote my brother, your sacrifice has to be as big as your dream. See, so many of us are unwilling to put in the work for what we want. We are just hoping and praying that the fruition of what we've always wanted is just going to fall into our laps. But that's just not the case. See, your desire for what you want has to be greater than your current situation. Otherwise, you will stay the same. See, this man for 38 years was sitting there unable to get into the pool when it was stirred. He was there for so long, and he just allowed the excuses to run his life, pushing the blame to other things. He was never able to make it in time. He could never get anybody to help him. Somebody was always there to get there before him. I'm going to tell you that if you give yourself enough time, you will believe every excuse that you say, and you will find yourself not even trying anymore, because the moment a glimmer of hope shines in your life, it is quickly extinguished by an excuse that isn't even true. Our excuses will hold us back from everything that God wants to do in and through us. But your desire to reach all that you've ever dreamed has to be greater than your desire to stay comfortable. So point number one, show me your friends. Stop surrounding yourself with purposeless and visionless people. Point number two, where's your desire? Your desire to achieve all that God has for you has to be greater than your desire to stay the same. And I'm landing the plane with point number three, and write this down: last time is not this time. See, this man has been here for 38 years. I can see him getting frustrated with Jesus when he says to get up. I can see this being a drawn-out process. Like, can you see this man saying to Jesus, bro, don't you think that I've tried? Don't you think that in the 38 years of me sitting here on this mat, I've tried to get up and walk? I can't. Why would I even try? Nothing has changed. Nothing will change. I can't make it to the pool. Somebody always makes it before me. I don't really feel like it. I don't really feel like making another attempt just to fail. That's what I hear when I read these man's words. But you have to try. You have to keep making an attempt. You'll never reach it if you don't. But this man's story is different, and I think it's a story that we all have access to today. See, all this man's hope was in making it to the pool one day. That this pool is going to save me. This pool is what I need. This is going to change my life. But this man was so defeated. And I think that some of us are the same way. And we've been this way for so long that you didn't even realize that the pool came to you. I don't really feel like it. And Jesus comes to this man. This man was broken, not going anywhere, no vision, no hope. And Jesus shows up and changes this man's story. He stands up after 38 years of defeat and takes up what was once carrying him, and he begins to walk. The point that I'm trying to make is stop pushing after the things that you think are going to change your life. If I just get this many followers, if I just get this job, if I get this amount of money, once I get this person to like me, everything is going to be better. Stop aiming after those things like you've been doing for so long, and look up to the one that came to you in your weakest state and truly wants to set you free. I'll be real with you, and I'm closing with this, but some of the greatest movements of God in my life have come from moments where I didn't really feel like it. And if I'm being honest, if I'm being candid, a lot of times I don't really even want to speak. Like, I want to, but the process of writing a message and the hours that it takes mentally drains me. I don't want to do it. But let me tell you, if you base your faith off of feelings, you will never move. You will never take up your bed. There are going to be moments where you're going to have to pray when you don't feel like it. Trust when you don't feel like it. Give up something that you don't want to give up. Move when you don't feel like moving. Don't miss the miracle just because you don't feel like it. And just like Jesus asked the man, do you want to be healed? He gives you a choice. Is your desire to stay the same or to be set free from what's been holding you back? All you got to do is get up and take up your bed and walk.